Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your host, Jamie Malm, and I have the lovely as ever, Tony Shore, with us today. Hi, Tony.
Lovely isn't a term I usually get thrown my way, but thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it nonetheless. I am doing great. I'm alive and awake on this Tuesday that feels like a Monday because we're coming off a long weekend, but I had a busy one. How about you?
It was cold and rainy here, so no barbecues, no swimming. The Memorial Day service that I usually go to at the cemetery was canceled because it rained. So that was kind of a bummer, but you know, nothing ever wrong with a 3-day weekend. And yeah, well, it was good.
Yeah, that's good. I got a chance. I drove down to see my dad and mom, of course, but I took my dad out to a cemetery where we put a seminary. That would be something. took dad to learn how to be the next pope. But no, we took flowers and put them in graves next to graves. He served and his brother, a number of people in the family, but that was actually Sunday. Saturday was my daughter's graduation from college. Saturday, I drove 3.5 hours one way to see my parents and drove back same day. Then the next day I moved my daughter and her roommate.
Holy cow.
So, I need a day off.
You needed to come back to work to get a little break.
This is the most relaxation I've had in 3 days.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Doing the show with you is like a pleasant break because my allergies are so bad this weekend. I had to do a lot of it. Manual labor is what I'm allergic to.
Yes. So,
yeah, I dealt with that.
I get that. Well, today we are diving into something that affects really everybody, but oddly enough, a lot of people think it does not impact them. Mm. It is estate planning. And I think a lot of people think, well, estate planning, that's not me. I don't have an estate, right?
Yeah. People think, oh, I'm not, that's only the wealthy. Only Bill Gates and Elon Musk have an estate.
That's right. So it is not just for the uber wealthy, the rich, the royal. It's for everybody. So what we're going to talk about today is how we think through what happens to our stuff? What happens to our money? What happens to our legacy if something happens to you or I?
Exactly. And it's not just about how much you have in the bank. It's about things like, how is my funeral going to be covered? Do I have any insurance? What are my loved ones going to have to deal with to close accounts? It's really, do you want to leave a mess for your loved ones or do you want them to be able to mourn you peacefully, right?
Right. It's, and maybe it's timely that we're talking about this on the heels of Memorial Day, when we're already thinking about, you know, the family unity and the picture that we want to have of our family when we're no longer here. So it's not just about passing money down. It's what do we want that family portrait to look like after we're gone? When we think about our family picture, Thanksgiving dinner, do we envision this unity where everybody is still together? Or is there fighting? Are there disagreements? Are there hurt feelings? Are people holding grudges? And none of us want that, right? We want that family unity and that picture to continue. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, and it's like it's the financial version of leaving the house without pants. Yes. Things could get messy fast. Nobody wants to see that, right?
Nobody wants to see that. Yes. I have not thought of that analogy before, but yes, the financial version of leaving the house without pants. Nobody wants that. So
I don't know why I threw that out there, but I just, you don't want to be that person, right?
You don't want to be that person. So I'll give you an example. My family grew up on a ranch. I lived about 100 yards from where my grandma and grandpa lived. My dad and my grandpa ran a ranch together. So 47 years I have been alive. My grandparents have been gone for 18 of those plus. We have not missed a family holiday, and I'm talking 50 plus of us. So my dad had four sisters. They all had kids. I have cousins. We have, you know, the line goes pretty deep, or the branches on the family tree. So 50 plus of us have gathered at my grandparents' house, which my dad still maintains, every holiday. Wow. My aunt said she has not missed one in 80 plus years. I've not missed one in 47.
Wow.
And so many times we've gotten together and we've said, you know, how happy would grandma and grandpa be to know that this legacy that they created, where we, I think at one of their funerals, somebody called us the getting togetherest bunch that there has ever been. So awesome. We still love getting together. And I think most families want that picture for their loved ones, right?
That's impressive. I mean, I'm blown away. I thought I had a tight-knit family, but that blows it away. That is fantastic, Jamie, for you and your family. But you're right. I mean, everybody wants to have that for their family.
And we only get one chance to do it, right? We have one chance to make sure that whatever we have in place, whatever we want to have happen, happens. And only our family that's really left behind are going to know how well we did. So the first thing that I recommend people really looking at is who owns what? We can't really think about how we want to pass it on until we know who owns each item. And we have to think about everything, not just our investment accounts, not just our home, but what about the car, the cabin, the business, the butcher block item? I mean, it's little things that we don't think about that normally cause rifts in families. I think about this little, it was like a booster seat that it was ugly as all get out. Like it was this little blue covered vinyl booster seat that sat at my grandparents' house forever. And every kid, every grandkid, every great grandkid sat in that thing. And everybody wanted it, right? When my grandparents passed, everybody wanted it. And
for their kids and their
grandkids. For their kids, yeah. And so there was a couple of items like that. And those things are the things that we as the grandparents or the parents probably don't think about. Oh, that ugly blue vinyl covered booster seat is going to be the thing that derails my family. But it's the little things like that that we have to think about. How do we want to address who owns what and then who's going to get it and how do we transfer it? Knowing the difference and how all that happens can really make or break best laid plans.
Yeah, it's true. With my dad's family, when my grandfather passed at 101, you know, he had 500 acres of farmland. Yeah. That was pretty much evenly divided. Nobody talked about that. All the buildings, all the tractors, all of it. The one thing was his pickup truck. It wasn't communicated who got that. And it caught. There's a rift still between two of the siblings in my dad's family. And that was a tight knit family and they're not talking to each other.
Right. It's probably emotional items, right?
It's not an emotional item. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to think about that personal property that may be in one person's name. So a car, cabin, business, those are the things that we usually outline in a will. Right. And we have to think about then, well, how does it pass? And people think, well, I've named it in a will, and so it's going to go to whom I want it to go to. But a will does not bypass probate. And so we miss a step there. And when we don't bypass probate, that's what causes the expensive delays. And it's what causes confusion and it makes things public. And now we're going to be working with courts and they're going to decide what happens rather than what I wanted to decide. And that's really when it gets messy. That's when you left the house without pants on.
Yeah. High attorney fees, court fees, and delays. If people are counting on money or inheritance to help with different things, or they need to pay taxes and bills that were left behind, court can tie it up. You want to try to avoid probate. And there are ways, I know you'll talk about that, but you know, these are some of the risks that people face if they don't have an estate plan in place, right?
Right. So if we don't want that to happen, we don't want the court making the decisions for us, we don't want costly delays, we have to be aware of the rules that we're playing by. So one thing to think about is, am I in a community property state? And we may oversimplify this. For example, I'm in Kansas. I may say, well, Kansas isn't a community property state, so I don't have to necessarily worry about inheritance or debts or what if somebody gets a divorce. But let's say I own a cabin or a condo in a state where it is community property. Well, I'm going to be working with the courts in that state rather than the state I reside in. So we really want to know the rules that we're playing by, and we want to know who owns it. And how is that going to transfer to my spouse or to my loved ones when I pass? Because it's not always going to happen the way we think it is. So few dangers. One, don't oversimplify and think that a will avoids probate. It doesn't. Two, and this is so simple, but so often overlooked, is having named beneficiaries on the accounts that we can have named beneficiaries. That is as simple as it gets, because my will might say my new wife gets this, but my beneficiary says my ex-wife gets it. Well, that's an issue, right? So your will does not override your named beneficiaries. That is a risk and a very simple mistake. Just update things after a divorce, a remarriage, a new baby, whatever changes you might have had, make sure that we're updating those. And then my favorite, assuming taxes are going to be the same in 20 years that they are now. Really, those are the
spoiler alert. They're not going to be the same. They're at historic lows now, and they may even be locked in for a little while longer at historic lows. But eventually they have to go up, whether the deficit is in the we're adding trillions every year to the deficit. So not good, right?
Well, and you mentioned they may be locked in for a little bit. So that was newsworthy here over the last couple of weeks. The House passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which is, yes, that's the actual name, One Big Beautiful Bill Act. But within that, the 2017 tax cuts are proposed to be extended, in fact, permanently, which would keep some of these tax cuts down. However, it does feel a little bit like kicking the can down the road still, right? Because that comes with adding on to the deficit, which is north of $36 trillion with a T dollars right now. So we have to pay that tab eventually. Yeah. And if your legacy doesn't account for rising taxes, your heirs, your kids, your spouse, whomever you've intended those assets or that money to go to, they're the ones that are going to feel the pinch of that, or potentially end up with a lot less than what you intended them to end up with.
Yeah. Yeah. Recent grads, they're going to, like my daughter, Allison, and another recent grad from the same school, Jacqueline, what are they going to end up with? Right.
Yep. Yep.
They might actually have to work for a living, Jamie.
No, don't scare the new generation. It'll be fine. But saying, well, I've got this IRA, I've got this 401k, I've worked hard for this nest egg, I'll leave them that and then they can figure it out. That's probably not the planning that we want to put in place. That's probably missing one of the biggest dangers here.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. So you can't just say, I'm going to leave them my IRA or whatever, and they'll figure it out. That's not a plan, is it?
Well, it's really this ticking tax time bomb. And so here's how it would work, right? If we have a 401k or an IRA, we get the tax deduction now. So that's great. That feels good. We got a tax deduction on paper. Maybe we have $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is, but that looks great. Well, when we then pass that on, we've never paid any taxes on that. So the IRS says, thank you very much. It's time to pay your tax bill. So your heirs then owe, potentially, we've got estate taxes, state taxes, income taxes, like that can leave maybe a little over half of the account that you intended for them, what they're actually getting. So Uncle Sam takes a big piece of that. And with legislative change, we used to have the option to say, all right, but there's some options there. My heirs don't have to pay that all in a lump sum. They can stretch out tax deferral over their lifetime. We lost that 5 years ago. We don't have that anymore. Now you have to pay the full tax bill within 10 years. Typically, when your heirs are going to be in the highest tax brackets they've ever been in, because they're probably at the peak of their working years. So now I've really eaten into a big piece of the pie with that.
Yeah, if you have traditional 401ks and IRAs, you lost that stretch IRA option where you could leave it to your children and they could just stretch it out, the withdrawals and tax payments over their lifetimes. Now it's 10 years is what
right.
You're saying. Okay.
Which is an example of legislative risk, right? That we run into.
Sure. Laws.
They can always change the rules on us, right? And it isn't typically a rule change in our favor.
Yeah, typically it's not. I mean, you know, like the one big beautiful bill, there are parts that are big and beautiful that everybody likes, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, right. Things like that. But there are always a lot of things in there. And the IRS tax code is no different. Usually when they change it, it's for their benefit, not always. So it's a lot of doom and gloom, though, Jamie. How do we fix it?
Yeah. So first things first, there are some easy things to do, right? With let's make sure that we have accounts structured in the way that we want them to go. So if we have an opportunity to name a beneficiary, let's make sure we are reviewing those annually and that they are up to date and they're what we want to have happen. We can't update our will and assume the will is going to take care of all of it. Named beneficiaries are going to override anything that we have in a will. So we have to be diligent about making sure that is exactly how we want it to go. Primary beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries, per stirpes, per capita. If any of that sounds confusing, you need to be working with a financial advisor to make sure they are reviewing with you. So we're looking for any holes in those. Number two, we want to think about tax diversification. Wealthy people don't play by a different set of rules than we do, but they know some of these gold mines that are in the tax code that the rest of us don't know. They know how to control their tax bracket and what they're susceptible to. So we want to balance between what we're getting tax deferred now, that's our pre-tax, what is going to be taxable and what's going to be totally tax-free. We've got to think of it as a pie and we have it sliced into each of those three categories.
I like pie. Please continue. Blueberry preferably, but
usually it's pizza that we talk about on this.
I know a pizza pie is good too.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
that's good too.
Okay. So some things to think about if you're like, all right, yeah, fine. Tax diversification, but what the heck is tax free? The two primary ways, this isn't all, but the two primary ways that we see people passing money tax free would be using Roth accounts or Roth conversions.
Sure.
And there are lots of subcategories to that we get into. Like, well, I make too much money to go into a Roth. Well, maybe you have an option for a backdoor Roth, a mega backdoor Roth. Maybe we have options for kids when they're young to have Roth accounts in place of just non-qualified accounts or 529 accounts. There's all kinds of things that we can do with Roth planning outside of just the normal, let me contribute my $7,000 or $8,000 and chip away at Roth contributions. The second is IRS code 7702, which is tax-free benefits for estate planning. Often overlooked, available to everybody. we've got to know what our options are. This is what the uber wealthy understand that the rest of us don't take the time to educate ourselves on. And then finally, if we do have those pre-tax, just traditional type 401k accounts, IRA accounts, eventually we have to start taking required minimum distributions, even if we don't want the money, right? Even if our intent is, I've earmarked this for legacy, I want it to go to my kids or my grandkids. At some point, the IRS, 73 right now, it's going to go to 75 later, they are going to say, you have to start taking some of this. You've got to start paying us some taxes. Well, we could take those RMDs and we could use those as leverage to purchase then other things that would go tax-free. That's how we start really giving some tax diversification and setting up our estate plan to retain as much as possible and pass the way we intended to.
Wow. Well, you've laid out a lot here for us to consider, Jamie. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, you're talking about tax-free versus taxable in retirement. You've talked before, it's important to have some money in a tax-free bucket in retirement, as well as taxable if you can. If you head into retirement that way, you're going to be much better off. But like you said, a lot of people end up in retirement with traditional 401ks or IRAs, and those, that's all taxable. So it's good to know there are strategies on what to do with it, utilize it with estate planning, but make the right moves and understand that. So I know that you offer free estate planning reviews, right?
We do. I think that's usually step number one is people want to know, I need to sit down and talk to somebody about how this specifically pertains to me. Here's yes. my unique situation. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. What kinds of things would be appropriate for me? Sure. Because it's not a one size fits all. So having that estate planning review is something that we do for not just our clients, but for potential new clients that say, hey, maybe you can help me. I'm not sure yet. Well, then let's sit down and have a conversation. So the first step would be to just contact our office, schedule a time. Let's have a conversation and see what your situation allows you to do. Usually it's some small tweaks, some adjustments that can make a huge impact. So that's step number one.
That's awesome. And that's the main step. We'll get a plan in place, but work with a professional. I know you work alongside estate planning attorneys, things like that to help your clients. So this is really, really important, isn't it?
It is, because it's not so much, I think we tend to focus on, I'm planning for what my heirs are going to receive. And really what I should be planning for is what they keep. So couple of stories that I heard recently, you're going to hate both of them. First one is Marie. Okay. Marie, not her real name, obviously. Marie sure. is young adult, early 20s. She's yeah. driving to work one day. She's following behind a school bus. She Jacqueline. Gets rear-ended from behind.
Oh, okay.
What was that?
I thought it might be Jacqueline. It's just Marie. We're saying Marie just for the show. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Marie. Jacqueline is your new intern, correct?
Yes. Well, not she's not an intern. She's a full-time, member of the radio team. Me. She's going to be co-hosting these shows someday.
Yeah. Love it. So not Jacqueline, Marie.
Yes.
So Marie is following the school bus. She gets rear-ended from behind. Drunk driver. She gets pushed into the school bus. Driver, two children killed. Court case. The judge deems Marie to be 10% liable, the drunk driver to be 90% liable in a $10 million suit. Marie's parents had set aside a couple of million dollars for her, not in the right way, not insulated. That money's gone in an instant, right? It is wow. susceptible to litigation when we think about how can that be? She's minding her own business, driving to school. She gets rear-ended, but it pushes her into the bus. Gets sued, court deems her 10% liable, her millions are gone. Another scenario. This one probably sounds a little more familiar. Ted Kennedy drives off the bridge in Chappaquiddick. Mary Jo Kopechne dies. His family did have his millions and millions insulated and protected in the right way. So when he sued, What does Mary Jo's family get? A couple hundred thousand from the car insurance company. His millions are totally insulated. Okay, we hate both those stories. We don't like to hear about either one of those scenarios playing out, but it's knowing, how do you protect your wealth? How do you want to pass it on? If you've passed it on, how do you insulate it from these, what we call wealth predators? And that's what we want to plan for, not just what they get, but what they keep.
Yeah. Even if you don't have millions, like if you have a business or a home and you leave it to your to a child and that child gets married and there's a nasty divorce, you don't want maybe the money, your money that you wanted for your child ending up with a bitter ex-spouse or something like that. So there are trusts and things you can utilize, right?
Yep. It's all about how we're going to insulate it and how we're going to protect it. So wills, trusts, power of attorney documents, knowing what we want to have happen and how we're going to do it. We first have to have assets to pass, right? So that's why we want to insulate from taxes. We want to make sure that whatever our intent is, we're retaining as much as possible. But then we have to think about the way that they're going to pass. Is it going to go through probate? Did I rely on my will? Did I set up a trust? And if I set up a trust, was it the right type of trust? Did I handle the low-hanging fruit? Did I at least make sure my beneficiaries were named correctly? These are the kinds of things that we want to make sure as we look at what kind of family picture are we going to leave. These are the things that we have to go through and kind of check the box and make sure I've done as much as I can. I've communicated that to my loved ones. They know exactly what to expect when the unexpected happens. And hopefully that retains the family unity and the wealth. We want both, right? We'd like to pass on as much as we can, but not at the expense of what our family portrait looks like after we're gone.
Yeah. Well said. And I know you're offering that no charge, no obligation estate review. So let our listeners know before we go how they can get that, Jamie.
Yep. So pretty simple. You can always call us 620-377-6456. That'll call our office. You'll probably talk to Emma. She'll simply ask, you know, what day and time do you want to come in and have a conversation? That's really it, all it is. So no strings attached, no obligation. We try to put ourselves in the shoes of others to say, well, what would we want if we didn't already know these things? We would want a chance to say, okay, here's my situation. Tell me how this applies to me. So what we're really looking for is to open your eyes to some ways that you could improve your situation and then give you some action items, some ways in which you can solidify your plans. So you can call us. You can also go onto our website. You can always message us that way or reach out if you're an online person and don't like to pick up the phone. And that's simply ironhorsefinancialservices.com.
All right, Jamie. A great show. Thanks for making death and taxes. I don't know if I want to say fun, but fun? Very interesting and educational. So that's great. And listeners, that does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance with our host, Jamie Malm.
See you next time. Thanks, everybody. That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.